Shri Sriman, His Divine Grace, Shalesi, Bhaktivedanta Swami Raj, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande, all glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthana Vidaya, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane, Namaste, Saraswati Deva, Gauravani Vijayane, Arise, Saraswati Deva. Om Agyana Timanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shigaro Shiyuta Pada Kamalam Shigurum Vaishnavamscha Shirupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Prajna Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakan Svitam Scha. Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Ganshana Gorangi Radhe Brindavaneshri Vrishubhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patidanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pravinitananda Shadvaiti Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 7, Chapter 9, the Lord pacifies the Lord with prayers. Text 45. Yan mai tu nadi grah medi sukham hitucham kandu yanena korayor iva dukadukam tripyanti neha kripana bahu dukha bhaja kanduti van manasijam mana vishaheta dira. Sex life is compared to the rubbing of two hands to relieve an itch. Brihamedis, so-called brihastas, who have no spiritual knowledge, think that this itching sensation is the greatest platform of happiness, although actually it is a source of distress. The kripanas, the fools, who are just the opposite of brahmanas, are not satisfied by repeated sensuous enjoyment. Those who are dhira, however, who are sober and who tolerate this itching are not subjected to the sufferings of fools and rascals. Purport. Materialists think that sexual indulgence is the greatest happiness in this material world, and therefore they make elaborate plans to satisfy their senses, especially the genitals. This is generally found everywhere, and specifically found in the Western world, where there are regular arrangements to satisfy sex life in different ways. Actually, however, this has not made anyone happy. Even the hippies, who have given up all materialistic comforts of their fathers and grandfathers, cannot give up the sensational happiness of sex life. Such persons are described here as kripanas, misers. The human form of life is a great asset. In this life, one can fulfill the goal of existence. Unfortunately, however, because of lack of education and culture, people are victimized by the false happiness of sex life. Prahlad Maharaj therefore advises one not to be misled by this civilization of sense gratification, and especially not by sex life. Rather, one should be sober, avoid sense gratification, and be Krishna conscious. The lusty person who is compared to a foolish miser never gets happiness by sense gratification. The influence of material nature is very difficult to surpass, but as stated by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 7.14, Mam eva ye prapadyante, mayam etam tarantite. If one voluntarily submits to the lotus feet of Krishna, he can be saved very easily. In reference to the low-grade happiness of sex life, Yamunacharya says in this connection, Idavadi mama cheta Krishna padara vinde navanavarasa dhamanudyata rantumasit tadavadi bata nare sangame smaryamane bhavati mukha vikara shustu nistivanam cha. Since I've been engaged in the transcendent loving service of Krishna, realizing ever new pleasure in him, whenever I think of sex pleasure, I spit at the thought, and my lips curl with distaste. Yamunacharya had formerly been a great king who had enjoyed sexual happiness in various ways. But since he later engaged himself in the service of the Lord, he enjoyed spiritual bliss and hated to think of sex life. If sexual thoughts came to him, he would spit with disgust. Yan mai tu nari griham edi sukham hitucham kandu yanena kurayar eva duka dukam tipyanti neha kripana bahu duka bhaja kandu divan manasijam vishaheta dira. Sex life is compared to the rubbing of two hands to relieve an itch. Griham edis, so called grihastas, who have no spiritual knowledge, think that this itching is the greatest platform of happiness, although actually it is the source of distress. The Kripanas, the fools, who are just the opposite of Brahmanas, are not satisfied with repeated sensual enjoyment. Those who are dear, however, who are sober, and who tolerate this itching, are not subject to the sufferings of fools and rascals. Mam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristai Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamita Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vajarne Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya Desitarne. In previous verses, Prahlad Maharaj has explained that by becoming Krishna conscious, then he was merged in an ocean of happiness, thinking of Krishna. But he saw others were working hard for nothing. And then he mentions, Prayena deva munaya swa-vimukti-kama maunam charanti vijane na pararta-nishta naitan vihaya kripanan vimukti Vimuksha ego Nanyam Tvarasya Sharanam Brahmato Nupashe. Some people have given up this materialistic concept of life because Prahlad Maharaj is referring to the modern civilization where people are working long hours at jobs. And what are they ultimately trying to achieve? To get some money. People are not usually working at their job because they love their job. Whether they got paid or not, they'd still work at their job. No, their whole goal is to get some money. And what is the idea of getting the money? Is that they can enjoy their senses. So some people have given up this idea of sense gratification. And they've gone to the Himalayas, for instance, and they've tried to meditate. But Prahlad Maharaj doesn't want to abandon them, although he says they're vimudhas, they're fools, and he says they're kripanas, miserly. So here he explains more importantly, more in detail, what he means by miserly people that he doesn't want to give up. That the whole material world is based upon illusion. And our first illusion is that we misidentify ourselves with this body. And while we misidentify ourselves with this body, what is the material world that we're misidentifying with? Is Urdvamala Dakshakam Ashvatam Prahor Abhiyam Tadansiyasya Parnani Yastvam Vedas Vedavit. That there is a banyan tree, it has its roots upward and its branches down, and the Vedic hymns are its leaves. That one who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas. So the material world is a show, a virtual reality, where supposedly something like Radha and Krishna's pastimes are going on. In every species of life, someone is thinking they're Romeo, and someone is thinking they're Juliet. And they're thinking that our abode is like Vaikuntha, and our expansions, our children are like our expansions, and our vehicles are like Aruda, and that we're enjoying pastimes. But because it's a reflection, it's not their actual pastime. No one has ever become material, nor is there any real enjoyment in such so-called pastimes. It's just the idea that we're pretending to be Radha and Krishna, and that we're enjoying. We don't need Radha, we don't need Krishna, we simply need illusion, and then we'll be happy. And people are so much absorbed in this illusion, they can't conceive that there can be anything beyond this illusion. They become disturbed if they see that people are actually beyond the illusion. They think, why are these people beyond the illusion? They should also be an illusion like we are. Otherwise, we feel guilty being illusion. Even grihasthas in our movement, they say that there should only be three regular principles. No meat, no fish, no eggs. Then the Krishna consciousness movement can spread. Otherwise, it's not possible. And how can people give up the necessities of life? The first editor for Back to Godhead, one of my disciples in Omkar Das in L.A., he met some devotee, I think, in Santa Barbara. He was the first editor of Back to Godhead. And he had left the movement around 1969. And he claimed that Prabhupada was denying the basic principles of life, love. Because Prabhupada told him he couldn't live with his boyfriend. Everybody became very upset. And said Prabhupada's denying the basic principles of life. So people are thinking like that because there's no other experience. They have no higher taste. Therefore they can't conceive of anything beyond such sensual enjoyment. And they think that people are artificial by tolerance, by learning tolerance, which Krishna recommends in Bhagavad Gita, as a natural conclusion to the fact that we're not the body. Tolerance is supposed to follow naturally from the spiritual conception of life when one is free from the material one, not that one tolerates just for the sake of tolerating. When Krishna says, Matra Sparsha Sukuntaya Chitoshna Sukudukada Agama Payano Nityas Tamtatiksha Savarata, that so-called happiness, so-called distress, they're all coming and going like seasonal changes, and one has to learn to tolerate them. There's nothing we can do. One moment we'll be in happiness, the next moment we'll be in distress. There is no plan we're going to make. Not that I passed my test in school, and therefore there'll be no more misery from now on. As soon as some material misery comes, I'll show them my grades, and they'll say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize who you were. And they'll go away. No, it doesn't matter how much money we have, how much education we have, how many friends we have. No, it doesn't really, happiness and distress, they'll come and go, just like seasonal changes. So what to do about it? Try to find out the source of happiness and distress and kill him? And then he can't do this to us anymore? No, Krishna says one has to learn to tolerate these things without becoming disturbed. So this is the last thing people are trained in, tolerance. People are convinced that by some personal endeavor or a collective endeavor, they'll be able to surpass the laws of material nature and end all suffering. And generally, they're convinced that, well, they've practically done that because if I get some disease, the doctor will give me something and kill all these bad things in me. Never mind it. Kills all the good things too. Kills everything. But I'll show these viruses and parasites and bacteria. Zap, you're dead. And I'm alive. I'm good, you're bad. So this is modern society. If you just survive, you're a good person. And Bhakti Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just telling me that in South Africa, some of the black people, they have the simple philosophy. If you're alive, you're good, and if you're dead, you're bad. So if they kill their enemy, and they're still alive, then their enemy was bad because he's dead, and they're good because they're alive. Similarly, people think if you somehow or another survive, then that's the most important thing in life, if this body survives. And if you can go on imagining that you're engaged in some kind of pastime up until the end of life, satisfying the senses, then that's the perfection of life. That at the end of life, you can remember sense gratification. People are very worried that at the end of life, somehow or another, their sense gratification will disappear. Prabhupada was in riding to the temple one day, and he passed a movie, and the movie said, the title of the movie is There Sex After Death? And Prabhupada gave a whole lecture on it, and he said, don't worry, there is sex after death. If the karmis understood this, they wouldn't be worried about death anymore. He said, in 8,400,000 species of life, there's sex, so there will be sex after death. But that's not the perfection of life. The actual perfection is to tolerate this itching sensation, but not just to tolerate it, but to actually come to a different platform of experience. That is the real pastimes of loving exchanges between Radha and Krishna are of a different nature. They're the nature of transcendental feelings, which are of real substance and produce happiness for everyone. When Radha and Krishna are engaged in their loving pastimes, the waves of happiness and ecstasy that come from them inundate the entire spiritual world with feelings of love and ecstasy also. And here, the pastimes simply cause more and more misery for everyone, the so-called material pastimes, perpetually. Even cause in the mode of goodness, there is less misery, there is knowledge, and therefore there is less misery, because there is a regulation, there is an awakening of the understanding of tolerance and control, hopefully to fix the mind on some higher consciousness. But people don't know that material life, I'm sure they know it. Miserable to some extent, but they don't know that there's a higher taste, that there's a higher consciousness. Therefore, somehow or another, they try to become satisfied with something insignificant. Tuchava, the here, the word is tuchava. Prabhupada, in the prayers of the six Goswamis, it is said, Tyaktva turnam ashesha mandalapati shrenim sadatu chava bhutva dina guneshako karunaya kopi nakanta shito gopi bhava rasamrita dilahari kolo lamogna moho bande rupa sanatano raguyago Shri Jiva Gopala Go. Tyaktva Turnam Ashesha Mandalapati. That the six Goswamis, they gave up aristocratic birth and material high government positions, and they put on loincloths. And they lived like mendicants going door to door. But they were so much enriched with the gopis' feelings of separation that they enjoy transcendental pleasure at every moment. In other words, our mood determines more or less whether we're going to be, where our consciousness is going to be. The mood of the material world is exploit matter. But what is matter? It's simply earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego combined in different ways. Sometimes we think this combination we don't like, some other combination we like, but after all, it's just a combination of the basic material elements. No one would walk down the street, and when they saw a bag full of bile and pus and urine, think, wow, what a nice bag. Let me take it home with me. It looks so nice. Because when we think that this is not a very nice, these combinations are not very nice. But due to illusion, one thinks that a certain combination of material elements, that this is life, this is what I'm supposed to live for. And then even if it gets old and worn out, still one is trying to hang on to it. So this is called illusion. But if people understood that they themselves are spirit, and therefore that's why they want to be happy and enjoy forever, they want, but if they actually got some knowledge, that's all. You can't get happiness, one can't get eternity without knowledge. And Bhagavad Gita knowledge is very much glorified. Apichet, as a matter of fact, Krishna says, Tadvidi prani patena pari prashnena sevaya. That one is supposed to get knowledge. One is supposed to inquire and get knowledge. The only problem is, it's knowledge how to give up everything that we're attached to. Not give it up, but how to become free from the illusion of that fact that it belongs to us, or that we're going to enjoy here in the material world if we make the proper arrangement. Somehow or another, if we can get a nice house, the proper wife, the proper husband, the children, everything set up, the bank balance, then we'll be peaceful and happy in this world. Do you know anyone who's like that? But that's the idea. That's the mood. Somehow or another, money, money, sweeter than the honey. The professional soldier, the merchant, the thief, they'll risk their very dear lives to get money. Why? To set up their situation in such a way is that they'll be able to enjoy the maximum amount of sense gratification as long as possible. And so-called, they'll get become so-called happy and satisfied. All based around material sex life, which is tuchava, insignificant. Yehi samsparsha voga, dukha yone evate, adyanta vanta kontaya na teshu ramate buddha. That an intelligent person doesn't take part in the sources of misery, which are due to contact with the senses, with their objects. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, so the wise does not delight in them. But before that, Krishna says, Naprari shat priyam prapya no dvijat praticha priyam stira buddhira samudo brahmavid brahmanistitaha. That one is not joyful when he attains something pleasant, nor laments when he attains something unpleasant, who is self-intelligent, unbewildered, and who knows the science of God, is said to be already situated in transcendence. Vyasparshevasaktatma vindatyatmini yatsukam sabrahma yoga yuktatma sukamakshayam ashnute. Such a person is not attracted to external sense objects, but is always entranced, enjoying the pleasure from within. In this way, the self-realized soul enjoys unlimited happiness because he concentrates on the Supreme. So people don't know that if we concentrate on Krishna, we'll feel unlimited happiness, or a little happiness. Therefore, we encourage people to at least chant Hare Krishna regularly on japa beads, so that they can see the difference in the mood, that when we get free from this unlimited desires and hankerings and lamentations, if we just concentrate a little bit on the Hare Krishna mantra, get free from our rattling of the mind, the incessant chatter of the mind, and actually chant Hare Krishna, asking Krishna to engage in his service, loving service, and if we can actually remember the mood of Krishna and his residence and feel the what it's actually like to engage in loving service, then we'll see that that's actually the mood of happiness and the mood of simply hankering, lamenting incessantly for something insignificant is the mood of material distress. So all we're trying to do is change our mood, change our consciousness, change our understanding. So that's called knowledge. But when people hear this, they'll become very disturbed. Oh, you're trying to take away love in the material world. You're trying to take away the only principle of happiness, our only satisfaction. You're trying to take away life from us. And in return, they're just giving us some chanting. Schnick, schnick, rom, rom, day, 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 day. Hey, kitty, kitty, hey, kitty, kitty. Mindlessly chanting some words, trying to forget that we're suffering because we're separated from the only happiness in this world. So we can work for Big Brother. So people, because they have no experience, therefore they believe like that, they think that the only knowledge is how to get money and gratify the senses. They can't conceive of anything else. Therefore, everything is defeated once we give them the basic philosophy: your body's changing, but you're not changing. You're not matter. You're not this part of the material world. You're a spiritual. That's why you're unhappy. And in every arrangement that we've seen throughout the universe, well, within one, throughout Portland or beyond, no arrangement of matter has ever satisfied anyone. The wealthiest man in this world, Howard Hughes, at one time he was asked, "Now that you have so many billions of dollars, what do you want?" He said, "I want more money." He couldn't even conceive of how much money he had, but he wanted more of it anyhow. So it is not that he didn't have any, if he got another billion, $1 billion, he could get one extra chapati. Or that his house would, he could heat the house in the winter. Or put air fans. No, he had enough money to satisfy, but he just wanted more money, because he had no other happiness than just getting money. Looking at the bank balance and feeling satisfied. Now I am richer. So that is not a very high standard of happiness, nor is the standard of happiness trying to enjoy the senses unlimited. But there, if that's all there is, then obviously life is not even worth living. But there is another platform of happiness, and that's what we're inviting people to experience by chanting Hare Krishna, taking prasadam, hearing about Krishna, understanding that your spirit, the reason why you're unhappy is not because you don't have the perfect arrangement here like everyone else does. That the real acharyas are not on the advertisements smoking cigarettes and drinking alcohol. That they're not the acharyas. That's not the process of becoming happy. But there is a process of becoming happy: to act spiritually, to act in spiritual consciousness, to have a spiritual mood, that we're eternal, so we don't have to worry about our annihilation. We're by nature conscious. We don't need an artificial education. We're by nature full of happiness when we were free from our material consciousness of hankering and lamentation for this body. Then automatically we're peaceful and happy. And beyond that, if we become Krishna conscious, we can experience the highest state of happiness. The same happiness that Radha and Krishna are experiencing in the spiritual world, we can experience if we become part of their associates. Instead of trying to experience happiness from a dead material body that's always dead and just gets more dead as time goes on. So with that happy note, we'll stop there. Any questions? Comments?
In class you mentioned that you know, people are always trying to make endeavors to better a situation or to try and, you know, they feel like they're in a bad situation or they're unsatisfied. And so they think that by them taking control of the situation and making some change or taking some kind of action, that's going to solve the problem. So my question is, I mean, in class you mentioned that it's not really the case. Really, to solve the problem, you have to be Krishna conscious, or more Krishna conscious. And so, is that the attitude, is that wherever you are, you know, you're going to feel some kind of distress or it's not going to be perfect. And so the thing to do is to just be more Krishna conscious, or
it wouldn't hurt.
I mean, or is it beneficial in some cases to actually, like, to say you're not happy in a certain place and you want to move? So is it beneficial to move in some cases, or is ultimately is it just that you can...
Well, if you're living in a swamp with alligators... You say we feel a little distressed here, but the alligators are multiplying, the people are decreasing. Then you might think of moving. It might be a better situation. But in most cases, it's not like that. As they say, the grass is always greener on the other side. So most of the time, we're just bored. And we think, well, the next place will be more exciting. Because moving will get us enlivened, just to move. So most of our efforts are just, Maya just engages us, so we waste time, we don't become Krishna conscious. We think, oh, if I have nothing to do, I'll have to sit down and read these books. That will spoil my life, my mature life. So Maya will give us so many opportunities to waste our time. One of them is just constantly moving from here to there. You have no time to think about Krishna, at least.
And then on that note, with Krishna consciousness being the highest form of happiness, why does it seem sometimes that's so difficult for us to taste that or feel that? I mean, you know,
because we're absorbed in material happiness. We're absorbed in hankering and lamentation. We have no time to deepen our consciousness of Krishna. Or if we do, for a moment, we become free from hankering and lamentation, we feel very uneasy. But this feels very unnatural. I'm too peaceful. And we think, oh, I got to hanker and lament for something. I got to start planning things out and thinking about the future. And I don't, you know, it's too uncomfortable to be here in the present. So we have to practice. We start chanting Hare Krishna, we actually start hearing the name of Krishna and Shrimati Radharani, Hare. We get uneasy. I'm starting to think about Krishna. My material life is going to end. Anything else? Okay. Okay, Grantharaj Mad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.